Hello, boys and girls and ghouls and goblins and things that go bump or bippity or poke or whatever the heck else in the night. We are back once again on After Route, Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And if you can't keep track of that sort of thing, you might want to get a watch. And if not, get a phone. Either way. Tonight we have a guest on the show by the name of Kate Morgan. Hi, Kate. How's it going?
It's going well. How are you?
Oh, I'm always amazing. By the way, did you know? Oh, a lot of the friends I know that are named Kate are named Kate. That did not come out the way I wanted it to sound, because it sounded way cooler when I thought about it about 20 minutes ago.
Well, that's okay, because my name's not really Kate.
Ah, see?
My name is actually Alice Luisi, but as Alice Luisi, I am known for writing light, funny mysteries, and it is all about the branding. So when I write horror and gore and lots of things that go bump in the night, I'm Kate Morgan.
Ah, it works either way. I have had a couple of guests who are murder mystery writers as well.
Cool.
They're part of the Murder Mystery Club of Canada. I can't remember the name of it. It's escaping me at the moment.
I know some of them, so there you go.
Do you know MJ Moore's?
Not that one.
Okay. It's okay. There's like hundreds of people, right?
Hey, I mean, you know?
I love people who say Canada. Oh, yeah, do you know so-and-so around? Like, that's 3,000 kilometers away, man. That's a good 6-day drive.
Well, it's okay. I'll drop a name. Do you know Jennifer Hillier?
I've heard the name. I do not recall the connection.
Oh, she writes the creepiest, darkest thrillers ever, and she's one of the sweetest, most delightful, most perky people I know. We've known each other since we were pre-published many, many, many years ago. She's awesome.
Excellent.
She'd be a good guest because she writes scary stuff.
Well, you should poke her and let her know to contact. I love having new people on.
I will.
Especially people who I've never heard of before or heard from before or heard about before or even... What's the name of the book you're promoting right now?
Right now it's called Staking Cinderella.
And...
No, not stalking, even though it sort of looks like that. Staking as in stake through the heart.
It's okay. I kept calling it stalking in my head every time I saw the logo thing. It's like, stalking, staking, stalking, staking.
I asked the publisher if I should change the title, and she said no. I said, good.
Oh, yeah. The title's good. It's very very specific as to which talking was like, hey, does this involve vampires?
And does it involve Disney princesses without using the D word? Because lawyers, yes, it does.
Exactly. Now, do you read comic books at all?
I read manga.
Okay.
A lot of manga. A lot.
I'm gonna recommend a comic book series, very specifically. It's a DC comic title, and I feel that you might have a bit of a connection to it.
Yes.
It's called Fables.
Okay. I have not read it.
So in Fables, it's basically all of the different myths and sort of legend type stuff. All of these characters live in a special land, and they have their own thing. But Cinderella is there as well.
Cool.
And she's
Hopefully
a secret
she's
agent.
Good, because the weenie, helpless, whiny Peralt Cinderella makes me want to stab people.
Well, yeah. I mean, most of the Disney princesses do that for me when they're like super Disneyfied as opposed to given an actual purpose. Right?
Well, then we can talk that was true. We can talk the Brothers Grimm Cinderella who, you know, suffered a bit and then just went, yo, tree, dress, we're getting the guy. So.
And let's not forget The Littlest Mermaid.
Wait,
the original Grimm is awesome.
Or the Disney? No.
The Grimm.
Mermaid was Anderson.
Oh, sorry, Anderson. The whole dried bones and stuff?
Yep.
Yeah. Love that stuff. That's the stuff that makes me happy in my happy places.
Hey, I grew up on Scooby-Doo. You want to make your kids think you grew up when the dinosaurs existed? Tell them that I was there when the first Scooby-Doo episode ever aired, and I was 8 years old.
Okay.
That scares your children, trust me.
I wouldn't know. I don't have those things. I've kept it deliberately that way because it's like they want to play with my stuff, and I will hit them if they do. And apparently that's bad, so
it is,
the trade-offs.
It is frowned upon. Yes, it is frowned upon.
Yeah, it's a little bit more than frowned upon from what I heard.
Well, I was being nice.
Oh, okay. Well, it's all good either way, right?
That's right.
Well, it's okay. I can tell you I grew up watching Godzilla. I didn't awesome. See the original when it came out. I saw that in reruns. Because that's 1959.
Well, no. Yes, I was... No, it was 54.
54, sorry.
I can... No, you want to talk Godzilla, we will have a war. I can one-up you. I can... No, meaning I can one-up you. No, Godzilla was 54, and we are not talking the
not the Michael Ironside one. The original Showa.
The original one. Yes, the original. Not the one with Raymond Burr patched in.
Yes, Raymond Burr. God. I always confuse them.
That's okay. No, the original one, which is awesome on toast.
Oh, absolutely.
I own every single Godzilla ever made except the whiny anti-pollution one from the 70s, which is...
What the hell was his name?
Hedorah.
Hedorah, yes. The smog monster or whatever.
Oh, God. But Shin Gojira was really good. It just... I went to see that with one of my offspring. And when the theme came on, everybody in the theater, and it was packed, we started swaying back and forth and waving our hands. I mean, this was 300 fans. It was awesome.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to knock it. I love Godzilla, have for a very long time. I have seen every Godzilla. And I am currently... Good. Did you ever see the Showa... The Blu-ray collection that came out a couple years in the nice big book thing?
No.
The Criterion collection?
Criterion does good stuff. No, I have several DVDs that I've gathered over the years. Oh. So I have a vintage-type collection.
Excellent. Well, I have some of the discs as well, but when I got the Criterion collection, I was like, I don't care about the rest of them. This one. I watch all of these. So I had a series of episodes where I was like going on to different Godzilla movies. Like, oh my God, I love this shit. Even though that is still a guy in a goofy-ass outfit, it's still awesome.
It's awesome. There are some things. CGI is awesome, and I love what CGI can do. But sometimes you just can't beat either Ray Harryhausen.
Awesome.
Angels sing at Ray Harryhausen. Or the guy in the fun suit. I ruined my children forever for horror movies when I showed them The Alligator People. Do you know that movie?
Vaguely familiar. Sounds like a 60s movie that I saw. Yeah. It was a Japanese one. I might remember it under a different name.
American. No, this was American. And it had poor Lon Chaney Jr. once again playing the drunk guy who's really a creeper. Poor guy. But... So our hero in The Alligator People has this curse laid on the family where he eventually turns into an alligator. And I will skip the lead up to this, which is hysterically funny, and get to the point where everything goes wrong and he really does get zapped into an alligator and he magically keeps his pants on. But when he turns around, you can see both the zipper and the fact that the costume is wrinkling under his armpits. It's awesome.
Okay.
You have to see this movie. You will laugh your head off. It's just terrific.
In the same vein, two movies for you. Creature from Black Lake, not Black Lagoon. Ooh. And Zombies versus Bigfoot.
Oh, no. I haven't seen either of those. Yay,
Creature from the
movies.
Black Lake is a very... cheesy ripoff of Creature of the Black Lagoon, so much so that you can also see the zipper on the outfit.
Excellent.
And Zombies versus Bigfoot, Bigfoot versus Zombies, whatever, I think you can see on Tubi. It is the guy's wearing a gorilla outfit with some patches of hair taped onto it, and it's like, okay, he's Bigfoot.
Okay.
Oh my God, so cheesy.
The Beach Girls and the Monster.
Oh, I've seen that one.
Oh, with the lion puppet. Oh my God, when that lion puppet showed up the first time, I had to stop it. I was laughing so hard.
I recently saw something called Virus Shark.
No, my friend watched it and told me not to bother.
yeah, don't watch it. It's stupid funny for how much they could get away for the budget. The budget is $182.
Got it.
And it's like, well, it's not terrible for $182, but I think I could do more funding out of that than that.
I'm just guessing. Okay, how about The Naked Witch?
Does not ring a bell.
It shouldn't. This is on YouTube. It's barely an hour long. It is narrated to avoid that pesky sinking your mouths with the actual dialogue problem. And it spends it's our hero who our hero in very big quotes, who spends most of the movie saying, you know, I should look for this witch, but I'm really supposed to be here for a music festival, and wow, my innkeeper's daughter is hot. And then he finds, yeah, really, really, and then he finds, of course, the witch's grave, which is, you know, hiding in plain sight, opens it up, and then he sees her swimming in, and of course, it's a skeleton, and magically it isn't, and she's swimming in a pond, and all her makeup survived 300 years. And then, of course, he becomes her sex slave. Now, this is like early 50s, so there's nothing shown, except at one point you see a brief flash of her actually naked, like from the side. And then that's it. And then he like beats her head in, and then the movie's over. It's you keep thinking, am I really watching this? It's on YouTube. I do recommend it.
Okay, I'm going to recommend another one.
Okay.
Because I do like splattery horror movies.
Yes.
Thanksgiving.
Yes.
I love the name. I love the story.
Great.
It's just, this was an awesome one.
I agree. I do agree with Thanksgiving.
The sequel, a little bit less. I think they were trying for too over the top. And it's like, I think you missed the mark. But I still can appreciate it.
Okay, now I'll tell a story on myself.
Uh-uh.
Yeah, I know. This story is funny now, 30 years later. So, I used to be in amateur theater, and that's how I met my husband. And
cool.
One Halloween when we were engaged, he was in the Eugene Ionesco play Rhinoceros, which I really, really do not recommend. And because I was in a different play, I was playing the hooker in Owl and the Pussycat in a different local theater. So I went to see him, and we were going to go to a Halloween party that night. So I went down to his dressing room, and he got into his costume, and I wore my costume. At this point, it's in the sub basement of the Onondaga County Civic Center that's in central New York.
Cool.
So the stage manager pokes her head in and says, "Hey there, don't forget to lock the door when you leave. And I'll just, you know, those old-fashioned the round doorknobs with a lock that pops. You
yep.
twist the little thing." She goes, "I'll just pop the lock for you." And we said, "Great, no problem." And it took us 15 or 20 minutes to get finished. And we went to open the door, and it was locked. And it wouldn't open. And we tried everything. And I beat on the door with my shoe, yelling for people. And there was a massive intercom in there. And the point of the intercom was not so you could call anyone. It was so you could listen for your cue, because it's
yep.
a huge theater. And one thing they used to do is run 5 horror movies in a row. Well, it was Halloween, and they always finished with the original Night of the Living Dead.
Awesome movie.
So there we are on Halloween at midnight, trapped in the sub-basement of the Civic Center, listening to the soundtrack of Night of the Living Dead. Ah! Ah! You know, yes.
They're coming to get you, Byron.
Yeah, exactly. We're hearing zombies eat everyone, things explode, and we're like, we're going to be trapped in here forever, and we won't get out, because it was, I think it was a Saturday, and we won't get out until Monday. So there we are, sure that we're trapped. And so the movie ends, and this is before cell phones, because this was in the mid-80s, and it was a sub-basement. You wouldn't have gotten reception anyway. So after the movie ends, and there's silence, And there was an elevator which had never come down to the sub-basement. Well, about half an hour, and it's like 1 a.m., the elevator comes down to the sub-basement, and we heard footsteps, tick, tick, and we yelled, "Help, help, we're trapped in dressing room 12. And the footsteps stopped, and this really shaky voice said, "Jesus Christ." And we said, "Let us out, let us out." And the door, just like in Clue, you know, where they're saying, "Let us out," that was us banging on the door. And this guy unlocked the door, and I leaped into a total stranger's arms and kissed him. And this guy, if you ever heard the expression "white as a sheet," this guy was whiter. He was terrified. He said, "You don't understand. I'm the projectionist. I just ran 5 monster movies. It's Halloween, and I thought I was alone in here and that you were ghosts." That is a true story. We then did not go to the party. We went to an all-night Waffle House, and then I just went home. But yes.
Yeah. All the fun part was done. Monster movies. Stuck in our dressing room.
It was only fun afterwards. It was not fun during.
Yeah. I get it. I understand.
It is a good story. It is a good story. As long as I'm telling stories about myself.
Okay.
This happened many, many, many years later. Now, I used to sing in an acapella, early music acapella group where we sang in a lot of churches because of the good acoustics. Mm-hmm. Now, this story is only funny if you know that I used to be a nun. So we were supposed to sing in this new church, and we all got directions. And this is before general GPS on cell phones. It was February. It was a Tuesday. It was pitch black, and it was snowing. I'm in my car following written directions, and you know when your gut instinct says, I know it says to take the first right, but you should really take the second right. Well, I didn't listen to my gut instinct, and I said, I have to follow these directions. So I took the first right, and I'm off in the middle of nowhere, and it's snowing, and it's dark, and I'm thinking, I've got to find a driveway to turn around. Well, I crested a hill, and I saw lights, and I said, yes, it's a 7-Eleven. I'm saved. I drive to the lights, and it's a strip club. And I said, well, you know what? I only want directions. There's got to be a bouncer. Now, it's winter. I'm in this big fluffy coat, and I had hand-knitted the Tom Baker Doctor Who scarf, which is 11 feet long. So I'm wrapped up in this giant scarf. And I look like probably a homeless person who got in, you know, somebody gave $5 to. So, of course, there's no bouncer. So I had to go in. And there was no nice lady dancing on the pole. But there was a guy down that short hall playing vinyl, and I knocked down his door frame, and he said, can I help you? And I said to the guy in the strip club, I am looking for St. Peter and Paul Roman Catholic Church. And he said, lady, you're in the wrong place. I said, I know. So he told me where to find the 7-Eleven, and then I got directions, and everybody at the church who was already rehearsing thought this was really funny.
Yeah.
So, yes. Yeah. The Did F-9 you know? Goes into the strip club. Mm-hmm.
Did you know that there is an entire subgenre of horror movies about nuns?
Yeah, I do know. I have seen many of them, and they're actually quite funny because, trust me, there is nothing accurate about any of them.
Absolutely not.
I once auditioned for Agnes of God. You know that grim little play where the nun gets pregnant and says it's, and the psychiatrist tries to get the truth out of her. They made a movie out of it, I think, with Jane Fonda. And I lost the audition because as I'm auditioning, this was after I got out of the convent, I'm reading for the part of the nun, and the director says, no, you must be more holy. And I just laughed in his face and walked out.
Yeah. Because, you know, the movies are all based on real things. You know, like all those cars that explode whenever they hit the median. Which, funny enough, I just heard about a truck this today on the highway that did hit the media and did blow up.
Yikes.
Different other things were going on.
I was going to say, yeah, it's not just hitting the median that makes you blow up. My dad owned a repair station for 40 years, trust me.
Yeah. There's a whole bunch of things that go on. I mean, yes, it can happen, but the odds are very low.
Yes.
Unless, of course, there's gas leaking and somebody is silly enough to have an open flame somewhere. Then it's definitely going to blow.
It is. Yes. Open flame and gas. No, please. No.
Always a good combo.
Yeah. Alfred Hitchcock used it in The Birds. It worked quite well.
Absolutely. And I always love how in movies, they always try to use the cigarette. Okay, I'm going to throw the cigarette and burn the gas. Doesn't work that way. If you have the cigarette on the ground and you're blowing and you get that, yes, that will work. But if you take it and throw it, doesn't work. Mythbusters did a thing about that.
I loved Mythbusters.
Awesome show.
They were terrific.
They had some weird ideas, and they were willing to test some stuff. It's like, I wouldn't be doing that. You want to throw a toaster in the bathtub that I'm sitting in? Nuh-uh.
No, thank you. Yeah, it was. But I enjoyed that show. It was great.
They did awesome stuff. So, let's talk a little bit more about staking Cinderella.
Stake like in vampires. Thank you. Yes, I wrote this book, and then Twilight came out. So I shelved the book for a long time until the whole Twilight thing faded. And people make fun of Twilight, but that woman can buy her own island, so you will never hear me making fun of that.
She's gotten better as an actress.
I'm not talking about the writer. No, not the writer. The writer.
Ah.
People, I read the first Twilight to see what all the fuss was about, and I'm like, wow, this isn't very good, but that didn't matter. So, yes, you will never hear me say, oh, she's a bad writer, because I would kill for her fan base. Thank you.
Oh, absolutely. Hers, Harry Potter's, Stephen King's, a whole bunch of them. Now, mind you, Stephen King, I don't mind his writing, but Harry Potter, could never get into it. Tried the Twilight books, picked up the book, cracked the page in the middle, and was like, What the hell is this crap? And then just put it down and never did anything again with it.
Well, my offspring were the right age to read Harry Potter, and I always made sure that I read what they read in case they had questions, because when I was 12, I read Matheson's The Haunting of Hell House.
Nice!
It was wildly inappropriate for a 12-year-old.
No.
So I read all of Harry Potter, and it was never my style, and that was before we knew what a piece of living scum somebody is. So my problem was when it got to book 4, Harry was a whiny teenager, and I owned one of those in the same house at the time, so yeah.
Yeah. I just could not ever get past it. The writing style, the story elements they were using, is like, I've read so many other things that this stuff was taken from, mm-hmm. and it's not even just as good.
Oh, well. But it hit the right fan base at the right time, and Lord knows we all try to do that.
Yeah, it's just the right storm of events that occur, the right demographic, mm-hmm. the right marketing team that wanted something that was different that they hadn't seen. It's like, yeah, let's play this. So.
Yep, exactly. Exactly. You are quite right.
But more about, I can never pronounce this name properly. Isolde?
Isolde, you know, Tristan and Isolde, Arthurian legend.
That's where I was going with the name. I just never pronounce it properly.
That's okay. I forgive you.
Okay. So, more about the holy vampire killers.
Oh, I had so much fun writing her. I know people like that in real life, which is why I had so much fun writing the crazy vampire lady, killer lady.
Excellent.
Yes, and her nasty little purse dog. Yes.
Sorry, I need to know more about the purse dog.
Oh, she had a chihuahua. I will admit that I did not reread my own stuff before starting this. I don't reread my own stuff a lot. Yes, she had a chihuahua, which I have a very good friend who rescues chihuahuas. So I tend to put chihuahuas in my books just because. But yes, she had a nasty little shivery chihuahua, which is a purse dog, you know. So.
Well, yeah, I've seen people carrying around in little shoulder holster things or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, so she was fun to write because she was so self-righteous, and she's every school board ever. And she was a Karen before the name got coined.
Okay.
I see the inspiration
for that one.
Because my vampire, who I enjoyed a lot because I got to write, you know, Middle English, because I actually can read and speak Middle English. So I got to throw some of that in there, and I had a good old time with it. And because he was a nice anti-hero, you know, sure, he'll chomp the idiots, but you know, love is love.
Who wouldn't chomp the idiots?
He chomped this stupid little teenager because she was a stupid little teenager. But yeah, so I liked him, and I wanted the antagonist to be somewhat cartoonish, even though if you ask 5 people on the street, 4 of them will say, I know somebody exactly like that.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And with the, I'm in the horror thing. So it's like you always have this wave of thing coming back and forth. So vampires are coming popular again. There's going to be a whole, give it about 2-3 years or whatever, and you'll have this big upswing of all kinds of vampire movies. And then there'll be something else after that. It's just, how do you play with that?
Oh, well, my dad raised me on Hammer films.
Excellent. Ooh, I have those.
Oh, yeah. And Christopher Lee. Now, I will say that my heart palpitates over Gerard Butler in Dracula 2000. And I know it wasn't that good a movie, but boy, it was fun. And it had Gerard Butler. It's like, you can bite my neck anytime. But there Christopher Lee was the best Dracula.
Yes.
The best. He didn't have to talk. Yes, thank you. So I thought, I want someone. Now, Christopher Lee was charming, even though he didn't talk, and he was pure evil. I mean, he was an evil Dracula. He was close to the book. But I wanted a vampire that had an evil side, but he was really trying to be a nice guy anyway, since he was stuck living forever and didn't really want to just walk into the sunlight and burn. So I combined that type of, and I didn't really realize I was writing something of a paranormal romance till I was done. I was like, whoa, I hate romance. How did I do this? And I'm not a romance fan. It's just not my genre. I don't read it and I don't write it. I prefer horror or mystery. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, well, I must make him a real 3D character. So I gave him some angst.
Well, yeah.
And Yes, and I put him in the theater, so he dresses, he creates costumes, because I know theater, and that worked out. And so I had the evil church lady who tries to stake him, and then I had the good church guy who is like, tell me how to propose to my girlfriend, because you're going to go to church, and he's like, oh, church, let's talk. So I tried to put some humor in there.
Comment in the chat room said, sounds like the Michael Scott of vampires.
Okay,
I'm not sure who Michael Scott is. Yeah, I'm not sure who that is either.
I'll have to look it up later. Since I'm concentrating on this, and I don't have my computer open, I'm concentrating on this. So
no worries. I have lots of screen coverage, and I tend to watch a lot of things, and I'm one of those people that can't do just one thing at once. I have to do at least three.
Well, I'm knitting, but that's to, you know, focus thing. Yeah, that's to focus my hands so I can focus on this conversation.
There you go. So, speaking of Christopher Lee, have you ever heard his heavy metal album?
Yes.
I love it. It's a Christmas album. It's awesome.
It's awesome. I listen to Swedish death metal when I'm writing sometimes because I don't understand Swedish, and it's
It sounds cool.
It is. It's terrific.
Michael Scott is from The Office. I could have remembered that, but I never was a big watcher of that show.
See, I have a day job, so I don't watch anything that's like going to work. That's not entertainment for me. I do escapism.
Excellent. Escapism is good.
Yes. I write escapist books, and I am not ashamed of it.
Well, why would you be? I mean, okay, well, I'm sure you've seen some weird things. I know I have.
I have seen some weird things. I try to put them in my book.
Name of that guy? Dingle? Chris Dingle? Makes all the parody, paranormal, love romance type things. All kinds of weird stuff.
Name's Tingle. Not coming to me.
Tingle. Something Tingle.
Okay. Name's that not guy. Coming to me. Okay. Yes.
It's okay. We'll pass on. Okay. So you write other books too. Murder mystery and stuff.
I write murder mysteries. My first ever written book, which I rewrote 5 times front to back, lovely learning curve, was a dystopian in which all the religious people are the bad guys.
Excellent. I can recommend another comic book series.
Not Priest.
Sorry, what?
Not Priest.
No.
The Priest. No, okay.
No.
But yeah, so I do dystopian horror, and I do a lot of religious horror because having, as I said earlier, having been a nun, once you know how the sausage is made, you don't eat the sausage anymore. So yes, I do a lot of religious horror because I survived a cult. Yay me.
Surviving is the main thing, right?
Absolutely. You know, I grew up really fast.
Well, that's good.
Which is why any nun movie, it's like, I just point and laugh. No. Also, they give me flashbacks, which are no fun.
I'm trying to remember any kind of serious nun movie that I've ever seen, and I can clearly say that almost every single one that I've ever seen is either horror-related, sci-fi related, or action-related, and I can guarantee that I believe 100% that not a single one of them is ever real. Although, the best nun, the Blues Brothers.
Absolutely, yes. The Penguin and the Blues Brothers. I love how she floats. Wait, action related. Tell me you have seen Jesus Christ Vampire Hunter.
Oh, hell yeah.
Okay.
Mary Magdalene with the Magnum 44s?
Oh,
45, sorry.
Yes. Oh, so much fun.
That movie was, crap. It was a Toronto thing. The guy who directed it, wrote it, whatever. He wasn't Torontonian, but he was living here and did the movie. Crap, there's a whole bunch of Toronto related stuff to that one.
it's you can't die until you've seen that movie. It's in that category.
Oh, I've seen it at least more than once. Time I think I had it on disc. Oh, VHS. When I had VHS.
VHS, and as we all did.
Oh, somebody suggested Sister Act in the chat room, and I had to say, ew.
No. Look. The Convent is nothing like Sister Act. When I first got published and was doing, some book signings, depending on the makeup of the audience, I would say, I hate to disillusion you, but The Convent is nothing like Sister Act. Or I would say, I hate to disillusion you, but The Convent is not a hotbed of lesbian sex.
Wait, what? No? Damn it!
No, I'm
Damn
sorry.
it!
Well,
I read a book!
Catholic guilt, it's a thing. You know, you take these vows. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a reason why those vows are there.
Yeah.
Oh, I had to remember this one. Warrior Nun Ariella. So that's a comic book series, but
Ooh,
they adapted...
Okay.
Yeah. They adapted that story to a Netflix TV show called just Warrior Nun.
Oh, I don't have Netflix anymore, so okay.
Yeah, I don't think it's available other channels as well, but...
Oh, okay, Helsing. Have you read Helsing, the manga?
A little bit. I'm familiar
okay.
with it, but I have read a little bit.
Oh, you need to read more. Helsing is one of my rereads at least once a year. But there is this great... There are warrior nuns in Helsing, and it's awesome.
Oh, I'm going to throw another one. I had all 10 volumes of it. I also have a comic shop, so I sell stuff as well. So I just sold all 10 volumes of it just a little while ago. So I was going to read it, but then somebody bought it, and it's like, okay, whatever.
Yeah, it's if you can get... It's hard to get a hold of the 10th volume. I paid a... an embarrassing amount of money for one volume of manga so I could get it.
Okay. I have it available for $10.
I've been for like 2 years, so, you know, I can't say it.
Precisely.
Yeah.
So, Battle Pope is another comic book series. And it is exactly what it sounds like. There is absolutely no sugarcoating it.
I love it.
Oh, what the hell was another one? There's a whole bunch of them. Like, they really do have a whole bunch of them. And I'm trying to remember some movies that had nuns in it. It's like, I know there's a bunch of horror movies that had nuns, both in the series vein and some in the comic.
That horrible new one with Vera Farmiga's little sister. Oh, God. Mm. It was one of the spin-offs of the...
Oh, was it The Nun?
Was it just The Nun? Yeah. Oh,
yeah, there's
man,
a couple of movies in that series.
Yeah, don't. I did. Don't. Just don't. There's one. Oh.
I met the guy who did the makeup.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah, he was at Fan Expo.
Ooh. There's... I can't look this up right now because...
I can.
Well, it was on... The last time I saw it, it was on Tubi. And we have...
I love Tubi.
The staple of all good horror movies, the one utterly clueless character. H.P. Lovecraft always had one utterly clueless character.
Absolutely.
And of course, you know, mommy dies and daddy says, don't ever go to where mommy came from. And of course, she gets a letter saying, you must come and get your inheritance. So of course, she traipses off to this island in the middle of nowhere.
Of course.
Because as one does. And... They're this weird group of what look like nuns, you know, wearing basic sackcloth, you know, burlap things.
Oh,
and
Midsommar?
No, God, no.
Okay.
If you're going to watch, don't watch Midsommar. Watch the original Edward Woodward, The Wicker Man. I have seen Midsommar, and I can't hold a candle to that.
I have not seen Midsommar yet, but I have seen both of The Wicker Men.
Oh, God, you watched the set? No.
Yes, I watched the Nicolas Cage one.
No. Ick. Can you get
I laughed at it.
I can't stand Cage, and I love Edward Woodward in The Wicker Man so hard.
Okay.
So, but this one is, I cannot remember it, but basically there are a bunch of nuns that worship something Cthulhu-like, and they're going to take over the world, and there's lots of evil monster goo, and our clueless heroine, and I will spoil this for you, it doesn't matter, our clueless heroine, of course, ends up becoming the blind, semi-immortal nun that's going to, you know, watch over the cult and the demonish thing until, you know, the stars are right. Yes, it's hysterically funny. I will try to remember.
There's another one called The Void, pretty much like that, but less on
I
the...
I like The Void.
Yeah, The Void was fun.
The Void gets bad rap. I like The Void.
Oh, it was a little low-key for the most part, and then it gets to the end, it's like, oh my God, this is cool.
Wasn't it? Yes.
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 Totally.
I was very pleased with The Void.
Yeah, I would say it's quirky little movies like that I love. I mean, I love a wide range of movies. I mean, I watch Japanese splatter movies. I watch contemporary Hollywood, sometimes horror, scary movies. And then a lot of foreign films and B-movies all over the place.
B-movies are the best.
And especially foreign ones, too. Well, sorry, non-American Hollywood. There are some good American B-movies, which are awesome. They got heart, they got style, they got soul. And then there's a whole lot of foreign movies that are just like, oh my God. My favorite zombie movie is Rec, R-E-C, Spanish.
Rec is good. Well, everything but the shaky cam, because I puke. but at Shaky Cam. But yes, Rec was very, very good.
It was one of the first Shaky Cam movies that I actually really enjoyed.
Cloverfield could have been so much better if they had not used Shaky Cam. There was no point to it.
But I love the whole idea about the stories happening at this ground level where the giant monsters are doing stuff.
Yeah, well, I turned green literally and had to like just listen to it for like half an hour without staring at it. So yes, Shaky Cam, die, Shaky Cam, die. Sorry.
I'm not a huge Shaky Cam fan, so I will take it with definitely a grain of salt on everything. The concept is cool, but only when they can execute it well. Blair Witch did not do anything for me. I literally could not watch it because I
would have run to the toilet. So yes,
I just thought it was mostly boring.
It was a clever idea for its
the
time.
The idea
it
was
broke,
cool.
It
yes,
broke ground. It broke new ground.
Yep.
So breaking new ground is good.
Absolutely, I concur with that 100%. I can like a thing just for a concept, but not like the movie, which is generally what Blair Witch is for me. I like the sequel way better.
Somebody besides me, thank you.
Yeah, I hear everybody always saying that they hate the sequel. It's like, why? It had a story. It had a concept. It was a circular thing. Started in the middle, came right back to it.
I did learn recently that it was hacked up in post by the studio.
Oh, that doesn't surprise.
Yeah, me neither. But I will watch Jeffrey Donovan do just about anything. So
cool.
Yeah.
Oh, and this is one of the reasons why I liked Rec. They had most of the movie was done on set as they were doing the movie. So they started with like about 25% of the story, the lines, the dialogue, action, and everything like that. And then the rest of it they figured on set, on shoot.
Nice.
Was like, that's cool. And the girl who played the camera journalist, spokesperson.
Do not know her name. Yeah,
she was a real Spanish news anchor. That was her job. They hired her in for this. She was not an actress.
Nice. She did a great job.
Bang up job. And then the second one, they kind of missed her, and then she was in the third and fourth one. Oh, sorry. Second one for a second. Third one, not at all. Fourth one, it was about her.
The fourth one wasn't bad.
I like the fourth one.
Speaking of, have you seen this? I used to have a subscription to Shudder, but I dropped it. There wasn't enough on it. They were really well curated and great, you know, beautiful.
They're getting
things,
more stuff.
There wasn't enough on it for me to pay $70 a year. But have you seen Dead Detectives?
Yes, I have seen that. Paranormal stuff. It's like, wait a sec, we're playing around.
I almost turned it off in the beginning because it was so loud and histrionic, and I'm so glad I didn't. It's one of the best movies I've seen.
Yeah, it's an awesome movie.
Horror comedy thing, it just nails it.
Yeah, it's like, we're flarking around. Oh, no, this is real. Wait, what?
And the direction, the one point where they all realize everything, like their dead friend is there and, you know, wearing the sheet to try to communicate, which is hysterical. And the lead and his girlfriend turn as one to his nerdy brother and they say in unison, tell us everything. And the direction was perfect. I will liken it to, even though it has nothing to do with the actual book, the original Howard Hawks' The Thing.
Okay, cool.
You've seen this, yes?
I have seen The Thing, yes. I've not read the book.
No, okay. But the original Howard Hawks black and white one, which has almost nothing to do with the book. But it's the direction in that one is like so tight and spot on. It's you could teach an entire college course in movie making from that movie. It's just everything about it is perfect. Now, Carpenter's The Thing, and I love Carpenter, and let's talk Prince of Darkness. Yay. Amongst a few other things, but his The Thing is very, very close to the book.
Okay,
it's
cool.
It's not a book, it's a novella. But yes, Howard Hawks' The Thing. Oh, so yes, Prince of Darkness, I'm sorry, one of my favorite movies ever. Ever.
Excellent. Why? Besides being the Prince of Darkness and Carpenter.
Liquid Jesus in a canister. Liquid Satan in a canister. But it's so quintessentially 80s in the same way. Didn't he do Big Trouble in Little China? Wasn't that his as well?
Yes.
It's so quintessentially 80s. It's like neon and big hair and all the tropes, all the 80s tropes. But it's so, and you know why? Because it has that one scary moment. And the scary moment is the dream everybody has, where you just hear the whispering and the hissing and the static. And then everybody wakes up and it's the creepiest thing ever. That's what, for me, elevates Prince of Darkness above so many other of these. Oh, look, we've got Satan. Oh, look, he's possessing everybody. Yawn. That dream where they're saying, we're coming to you from the future, and they're trying to communicate, is so creepy. The first time I saw it, it creeped me out, and I had to watch, I own it, and I've watched it at least 24 times. It's so good.
Nice. I find there has to be a significant amount of time to pass before I can rewatch a movie. Usually. Because as soon as I watch, start, I get all right back into it. It's the same with reading. I can't read a book over again unless it's been at least 10, 15 years that has passed.
Ooh, wow. I reread books a lot more frequently than that. Okay. Event Horizon.
I love that movie. Oh, it's in my top three.
Yes, it's in my top three as
the
well.
The score, done by the guys from Orbital. The acting, I mean, Sam Neill, awesome.
Sam Neill is so
the,
good.
The backgrounds,
and
the
Fisher,
visuals,
and
the
Fisher
concept.
Every, oh, my gosh. And speaking of Sean Pert, no, yes, speaking of Sean Pertwee.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He
so
was
many,
in that.
Yes, he was in that. And it's, Event Horizon is so good. And I, for one, am glad that they cut down the nightmare montage of the evil universe the way they did, because it leaves it to the imagination, and that's what's good.
I mean, you get just a snippet enough and it's like, yes, it
Absolutely.
Went to hell. It's not the hell that you necessarily know, but it's definitely a hell, and that's what came
back. Yes, just the snippet is just what you need. I love that movie so much.
No, that movie is like, I will watch that one. I've watched that one again this year, earlier. I think that one gets every 5 years. No, it's like, I can't watch movies that quickly. If I do, it's like, it just gets ruined. It's like background noise. Like, okay, fine, it'll go and I'll watch it, but then I won't pay attention to it, and I can't enjoy that.
Well,
so,
okay, it might be because I'm a writer and I'm used to, like, you know, really digging deep and getting under character skin, because it's what I do. So I can watch movies much quicker than that, rewatch much quicker than that, and then I just keep finding little details, which... And let me put it this way. I rewatch A Nightmare Before Christmas once a year. I love it. On Halloween, and that is not up for discussion. It is not a Christmas movie. And I just keep finding new little bits everywhere in the animation.
I have to admit something.
Yeah. You watch it at Christmas?
I have never seen it.
Ooh. Wow.
I have seen one 5-minute clip or whatever of Oogie Boogie singing to Santa, because that made me laugh my ass off. And that's about it.
Oh, I highly recommend it.
I have it. I just haven't gotten to it.
Oh, it's short. And the only thing that really creeps me out is they draw people's, like, Santa's hands really small, and it's kind of creepy. But there's so many details. It's so much fun. It is so much fun. I highly recommend it. And yes, only on Halloween, because the color palette is Halloween, except for the little bits of Christmas, and it's wrong for Christmas. Besides,
well,
Halloween is the best.
That depends on whose Christmas.
I guess. I don't do Christmas horror. I save my horror for the other 11 months of the year.
Oh, I'll do anything horror.
Although, I have to say, last Christmas, I did get a horror short published with the,
excellent,
and I will mispronounce it because I have forgotten how to pronounce it, the Welsh horse puppet thing, the Mari Lid. I've forgotten how to pronounce
it. Oh, crap. Yeah, I know what you mean.
You know what
I
mean?
I can see the word, but I can't pronounce it.
Yeah, they hollow out a horse's skull, and they decorate it with Christmas stuff, and they put a sheet, and they do this rhyming thing where they knock on the door, and you have to do the rhymes, and if you lose, they come in and eat your food.
Yeah,
so
I know that tradition. I just can't remember the name of it.
It's spelled Mariliwyd, and I'm an old Italian broad, and it's just not coming to me. But yes, I had published a horror short with, it was like an anti-Hallmark holiday thing, and the Mari Lid does very bad things. And it was
so,
because she, of course, possesses this very angry young woman, and it was so much fun.
See, I'm a big fan of Krampus, but that's because it's a whole anti-Christmas thing that's become a very popular, it's very popular in Europe, and it's becoming more popular in the West.
I cannot tell you how many people I have introduced to Krampus because I have many Krampus ornaments. I have several around my house at Christmas.
And I would say happy Krampus knock, but it's not
tonight. Yes, it's not December 5th. And yes, the Krampus, did you know that Krampus parades were outlawed in a couple small towns in Europe because they frightened the kids too much?
Yep.
Yes.
Did you know that there is an entire counterculture, subgenre, bondage group, the whole nine yards, that have the whole taken that over in most of North America?
Not really what I'm into, so.
Yeah, not what I'm into either, but this is what I, like, see most of when they're doing all of these parades, mm-hmm. which is awesome. But they fly their freak flag, and hey, whatever, you know, everybody have fun.
Consenting adults, go for it.
Precisely. Yes. So, I used to work across from a place where the Krampus Parade actually starts here in Toronto.
And really?
It was be awesome. And it was the one night that I actually was there until about 10:30 or so. So I'm getting into my car and I'm going to go home. I didn't know about it then. It was like 10, 15 years ago. And I see this woman get out of her car. I swear to God, she had no pants on, no nothing on, and whatever. Big, long, high heels and everything. Big headdress thing going on. It's like, okay, that's interesting. I'm going to sit here for a second. I'm going to wash and see what happened.
December, it's cold.
Exactly.
Ooh.
Oh, it's cold. December 5th here, cold. Usually be 10 below or whatever sometimes. And it was cold. There was snow on the ground. She was not buying any of it. And then her big 7-foot boyfriend got out of the other side. And they both walked across the street into the... whatever the hell the building was called. And it's like,
wow,
I want to know more about that. So I went and found out more about that.
Yes. Wow. Okay. No, so interesting.
It's a big thing in Toronto now, every year.
I should visit Toronto more often. It's not that far and the border's open again. So there you go.
It is, but there's still things you got to do to get across.
Sigh.
Yeah.
Yes. I know.
I'm not really worried about it anymore because it's like, whatever. We'll move on.
Yeah.
So murder mystery stuff. Why murder mysteries?
Well, you see, I wrote this, the dystopian horror, the religious dystopian horror, and I'm one of the many moderators of an online forum called the Absolute Right Water Cooler, which is several thousand members of all levels of publication. And they had a guest agent on who said, and I said, well, I'm going to query my dystopian horror. And he rejected it and said he didn't like the query. He said, but you know what I'd really like to see? Because I said, you know, I used to be a nun. He said, I'd like to see a crime-fighting nun. And I said to myself, I write horror. That's nonsense. And about 9 months later, I had my first mystery with a crime-fighting ex-nun. And
excellent.
I sent it to him, and he rejected it.
Well, of course.
He liked grittier stuff. I'm a little lighter. So I found an agent who sold it to... a legitimate publisher with an advance and everything and all that wonderful stuff.
Nice.
I prefer traditional publishing to self-publishing. That is my choice.
Mm-hmm.
I know many people who self-publish successfully, but because I have a full-time job, I am not able to wear all those hats. So
right.
I go for traditional publishing. So yes, he sold that, and I had nine total books in that series before it ended a few years ago. So I had a crime-fighting former nun.
I think I even saw those titles of those books.
Yeah.
Where did it go?
That's under my real name, Alice Loisi.
Okay, then I didn't see them.
Yeah, she also fought ghosts at one point. So, with
is Dewey
about,
James?
I'm sorry?
Is Dewey James you, or is that another Kate Morgan?
No, that's another Kate Morgan. There's very few things out under Kate Morgan. I'm really going by my real name now.
Okay.
But the ex-nuns are all Alice Loisi. But yes, I had decided I needed to change up the series so she should fight ghosts. And I had planned, because I outline a lot, because since I work my day job, I have to be able to look at an outline and get back into the story at the end of the day. And
absolutely.
I had planned for her to meet this cranky old lady ghost who just hated everyone. And I am writing away on my laptop. And the ghost shows up, and she's the ghost of a Gibson girl. And I just looked at what I wrote. And I said, son of a gun. And I took a detour and researched Gibson girls, which was actually quite interesting. but not at all what I intended. So, and I learned the hard way, if the story wants to do one thing, you go with it and do not try to wrench it back to what you think it should be.
Absolutely, because you'll just hit your head against the wall and go bang, 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 bang.
Yes, wow. If I've got a character talking to me saying she wants to be X, I will say, certainly, I will go research that.
Absolutely. And this is why you never really check a writer's search history, because it's like, wait, what? Why do you want to know the temperature point of burning with an axe hitting a stone?
Nope. I have a better one. I Googled how to make a pipe bomb about 8 years ago.
A pint bomb?
I heard Homeland Security going ping, 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 ping.
Yes.
Because in the second book in the series, I put my ex-nun back into her old convent because there were suicides happening, and the evil superior general, who was not very loosely based on my own former evil superior general, wanted my sleuth to rubber stamp it, and she refused. So there's this little old Swedish nun who was based on this little old Italian nun that when I was a novice, I won't get into the nun things, but young nuns.
We won't get into the
novices.
Nun things.
Young nuns are called novices, and we had to shepherd her around, and she spoke very little English. So I made her into this little Swedish nun who actually knew the young woman, the young nun who had committed suicide, and knew it was the fault of the evil priest who was doing very bad things. And so she called her friends over, and they brought separately from several cities all the stuff to make a pipe bomb. And then they assembled it into the convent, and there was this big celebratory mass happening, and they heaved it at the priest. It was fun, but yes, so I do know how to make a pipe bomb, and honestly, you really can't get that stuff easily. So, my search history is very bad.
Well, like, I will mention one thing.
I know how to kill you 10 ways, and I'll never be caught because herbs do certain things in the body.
Yes, and there are a good number of farmer friends that can do all kinds of wonderful things.
Yes.
I know this is in Canada, but I don't know about in the U.S. There are 3 books in the library. If you sign them out within a certain period of time, you'll be put on a watch list. One of them is being the manifesto thing, the Anarchist Manifesto. One is about how to build bombs, and I can never remember what the third one was. But those 3 combination of books always is a radicalized, that person must be watched, they might be trying to do something.
Yeah, well, it's pretty bad over here in Buffalo and stuff. So
we get the news.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. So yes, I do. That's why. And you wonder why I write escapist literature. There is no wonder I write escapist literature.
I don't wonder why escapist literature.
Yes.
People keep telling me to watch this movie or that show or that movie and that show. I was like, do things blow up? No. Are there monsters? No. Is there some kind of zombie? No. Is there speed chases and whatever and whatever? No. Then I ain't watching it.
Then what's the point? Yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
So it's like, it's whatever. So now, being in the whole idea of the difference between traditional publishing and self-publishing and whatever, do you do much in the way of promoting yourself, like in conventions and stuff?
Well, I do when I have a book out.
Okay.
Because conventions are expensive, and yes. I tend to drive to them because it's just easier than getting on planes and things and all the luggage you have to bring. Mm-hmm. I do things like this podcast. I will speak anywhere. I mean, I was a nun, I was a teacher, I was an actress, I was a singer. I can speak well. So
excellent.
I'm not afraid of crowds. When I was 19, they put a boot in my butt and said, you are a now leader, go lead. And I was teaching 17-year-olds. And I'm 5'3". And I was saying to giant basketball players, sit down. And I had the habit on with the veil, and they would just, go, yes, sir. And they would just, crawl to their seats. So it's power.
Excellent.
So, yes, I will promote myself. I do blogs. I do guest spots. I will do public speaking. But it generally happens when I have a new book out. And at the moment, I do not. I am writing a new book, but I do not have one out.
Excellent. So do you do much in the way of social media, but other than the blogs?
I do Facebook, I do Twitter. I'm pretty active on both, more Twitter than Facebook.
So do you find, like, I have mixed responses for Twitter for myself, both Instagram. I get more ground on Instagram because I think more and more society is moving to this, picture, look, like, and that's about it, without drilling into stuff.
I probably should do Instagram because most of what I post is pictures. So, yes, that makes perfect sense. I have an Instagram. I don't use it that much.
You can link your Instagram to Facebook, right?
Oh, we can? Oh, that's why not? They're mining all our data anyways.
Well, it's owned by Facebook anyways.
I'll have to do that then.
Yeah, so what you do is you just post in Facebook, and you can have it set so that it spits it right out to Instagram as well, so you don't have to do both.
Ooh, that's very nice. Yes, yeah. And everybody can see my koi pond with my giant koi, which is what
exactly.
I'm showing. Yes.
Oh, I know there's a book called Koi Horror.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I mean, I wrote a story for Bacon Horror, so they're going to have a horror story for pretty much anything.
Well, that is very true. I have written some very niche horror stories myself.
Yeah, my favorite poem that I ever wrote was a Christmas Santa Claus is a Zombie poem.
I wrote a lot of angsty poetry in my high school years, and I shredded it all. You're welcome.
Well, okay.
Because you are very welcome. I don't write poetry anymore. I write murder mysteries and horror. It's a much better fit for me.
Excellent. Well, you're familiar with Dante Alighieri, right?
Read him many times, although I prefer Excellent. The Inferno to the Purgatorio and the Paradiso because it's so much
there's
more
action.
Preachy. There's so much, it's so preachy.
Yeah.
Oof. Yes, there's
totally.
Much more. And if you want to get revenge on your enemies, just, you know, shove them into shit in hell. There you go.
Yeah, exactly. But this was the thing that I impressed my school teachers with. It's like, yeah, I just read it for fun. When I was like 15, I found it in the library. It's like, oh yeah, this is that one with that whole abandoned all hope you would enter. Yeah, okay, I like that. I'll what? Ooh, this is different. I'll read that.
Now, see, I read Faust when I was in high school.
Yes.
The original Marlowe. I tried to read Goethe. It was too much for me. But Marlowe, yes, please.
Yeah.
It's so wonderful.
There's a comic book adaptation of that as well. And it's really good. And it's really dark. And it's really, wow, you put that in a comic? This is not for kids.
Oh, I have to look that one up. Have you seen the Globe Theater one with Arthur Darvill, who is the most underrated Doctor Who companion ever? Thank you very much. He was Rory.
I remember am Amy? Trying to remember.
Do you remember Amy and Rory with Matt Smith as the Doctor?
Oh, I haven't. Okay, so most of the newer Doctor Who, I'm still at the beginning of Matt Smith, so I haven't really been introduced to him much. I've seen What's-Her-Face, the 13th Doctor, about half of that series, and it's like, well, I didn't mind her. She was okay.
The writing bothered me. The writing got so preachy for me, I actually stopped.
The thing I liked, she was fine. She was like Tom Baker on crack, and I liked that. That was funny.
I liked that, but her writers, she needed better writers. So did Capaldi. He needed better writers.
See, I didn't get to see any Capaldi yet. I have all of the series.
Oh, he was good. Now, you will hear complaints about The Impossible Girl and all that stuff, but Capaldi was a very good doctor.
How was Karen Gillan? Because I like her and other stuff that she's done after that.
I liked her a lot. She was a good foil. Thank you. In the same way that with David Tennant, while I did not care for Donna, that character, she was a good foil because Martha was just so syrupy sweet. It just didn't fit. So Donna was a better foil for the Tennant Doctor Who.
Okay.
So Arthur Darvill played Mephistopheles in the Globe Theater production of Faust.
Nice.
Dr. Faustus. And it was so darn good. I bought the recording, and I rather than stream it, I just paid like £11 for the recording, and it was £11 very, very, very well spent.
Excellent. That's like about $22 US, and it's about
something
almost
like that.
$30 Canadian.
Now, it does take in, there's the apocryphal bits of Faust, there's the stuff that the actors threw in, there's the stuff that probably wasn't written by Marlowe, and to make it a longer play, they just threw it all in there. But, and it was like 12 people playing all the different characters, and it's fantastic. It's
Excellent.
Just fantastic.
See, I never got to go into much in the way of plays. It's just, I know there's a lot of the good stuff out there, it's just it's never been my avenue for doing stuff, because I don't like being around people with a lot of that stuff. You know what I mean?
Well, I do, but, you know, back in my, you know, misspent youth, after the convent, I did a lot of theater. So I did theater. I did stuff when I was in high school, and then there was the convent, so there was that gap. And then when I got out, I went back into theater, and I do love doing it. I just haven't done it for many, many years. There's only so many hours in the day, so I write.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's what we fill the darkness with, right?
Absolutely, and I make darkness, so there you go.
Excellent. So that has actually brought us to about the end of the show. That's like been a whole hour of chatting.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're most welcome. I'm happy that you came and joined and stopped by, because one of the biggest fears I have for meeting new people on the show, whatever, is like, can they talk all by themselves? Do I have to poke and prod them every single time? Or can I throw something in and they can go? That's the better thing.
I can talk.
So, promote yourself. Where can people find you or stake you or stalk you, whatever, stalk you, whichever?
People can find me under my real name, which is Alice Loweecy, Loweecey, on Twitter, on Facebook, and that's pretty much all the social media I do. I will go link my Facebook to my Instagram, which I do have. I do use Pinterest a bit, but not much. So it's mostly Twitter and Facebook, and it will be Instagram. And that's where I am. I have a website, but I don't use it too much, and I'll reboot it with my newsletter when I have a new book deal.
And I can guarantee you it's very easy to find her with just those words.
Cool.
Because when I went searching for you on both Twitter and Instagram, oh yeah, there we go. First pop up in Alice Loee. Bam, 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 bam. It was easy. So it's good. So again, everybody out there in Afterrot land, have yourselves an amazing good time. Be well, be happy, be all that stuff that matters to whatever mindset you will need to be in. Come back again every Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on this same zombie channel at this same zombie time. We will see you again, we will hear you again or talk to you again, because I'm not into the video stuff because it's best that way. Have fun. Hit the stick. Don't break a zombie's back, because we are zombie. And I'm just trying to find where my button went to. There we went to. It's over there. And we will see you all again next week.